is The Pulse, your source of insights, opinions, and pro tips about life running a field service or contracting business. The Pulse is hosted by Field Pulse's head of marketing and amateur satirist, Dennis Bierman. Without further ado, The Pulse.
What's up, contractors, tradies, service business operators, and anyone out in the field? It's Dennis Bierman with Field Pulse. For those who don't know, Field Pulse is the app that helps you keep the world in working order. It's a killer app for running an equally killer service business. Thousands upon thousands of you guys trust us for job management, scheduling, invoicing, payments, and marketing. Check it all out at fieldpulse.com. But we're not just here to hawk software. Nay, the Pulse is about you, our heroes, and your stories. Keeping this planet chugging along ain't easy. Today's guest on The Pulse is Christy Lindsay. Christy probably could have stayed pretty tucked away into her life in corporate America, where she was a compliance pro. But hubby had a dream, and perhaps she had one too many TPS reports that day. Now she's running an RV repair business out of Houston. Aside from the occasional caller who didn't expect a gal to be the boss, she seems to be loving it. We can all learn from her professionalism and honesty and authenticity and dedication to her customers. Take it away, pre-recorded me. Joined by Christy Lindsay of North American RV Services in Houston, Texas. Christy, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Well, thanks for agreeing to come on to the podcast here that we call The Pulse. I was really excited to get the chance to talk to you because you are something of a rarity for Field Pulse customers. You are a woman-owned business, and we don't have a whole lot of them in the portfolio. I want to hear the perspective, and I want to hear your thoughts on being a woman business owner and you know, what you love about that role and what's been tough about that. So can I start with that difficult question for you?
Sure. I love the role because, I'll be honest, I'm a control freak. So I like being in charge and making the decisions. So that's the easy part. The hard part, not so much with my employees, because they respect me and listen to what I have to say. And they know that, you know, with my background and compliance, that they need to listen to what I'm saying. It's generally with customers that are, you know, the customers that want to talk to the owner, they want to talk to the manager. And, you know, when a woman gets on the phone, sometimes that's a little difficult because we are in the RV repair industry. A lot of our customers are elderly. They're retired, traveling the world in their RVs. So, you know, we have a lot of older generation customers that those gentlemen generally are shocked when it's a female that answers as the owner.
And you get to tell them that you're the boss.
Yes, I do.
That's awesome. And about your business, North American RV Services, tell us about your business. How many years in business? What do you guys do for your customers? Give us a overview of your business.
We are a mobile RV repair service, so we actually don't have much overhead because we're mobile only, so we don't have a shop. And what we do is send out our certified technicians to their location, because if you have an RV and you're all set up in the park, you've got your slide outs out, you've got your awnings out, you've got your little camping chairs out and your ice cooler chest and everything is out and you have an issue, the last thing you want to do is pack all that back up and drive to a shop where they might keep it for a week. And then where are you going to go, especially for our elderly customers that actually live in their RVs and they're set up permanently at a park. And sometimes the repair is something they can't drive with. If your slide out is stuck in the out position, you can't exactly drive down the road. So it's a very good niche for us. Lots of more competition is popping up. So I think other people have kind of seen the value in what we do. But that's what we do. We travel around to the different RV locations and repair it on site.
It's awesome. And I notice the listeners can't see, but we're on video. I notice in the background you have your BBB accreditation in the back.
Yes.
Reputations are really hard in the service business. So tell us a little bit about how you manage your business's reputation And, you know, particularly when it comes to customer complaints, there's always going to be some, but reputations matter. People look at reviews and ratings online. What's your strategy for doing that for your business?
I just try to always make sure that, cause I deal with the customer. I'm the only inside office person. So I'm taking the phone calls, setting the appointments. I try to make sure I'm extremely clear with the customers, what to expect. Let them know they can contact me at any time. We have customers will call me at 9 o'clock at night just with a question. And that's fine. So I just try to always give that extra customer service mile that I'm here. I'm approachable. A lot of business owners aren't approachable. I am. They're not going to call and ask to speak to the owner, and maybe they get a call back or maybe they don't. I answer the phone. So you get me directly if you call. So we like that aspect, and I like the personal touch of it. We don't have an automated phone system. You know, it'll tell you to please hold if I'm on the other line. But if I'm not on the other line, an actual person, which is me, answers the phone. A lot of people get frustrated these days because we've lost so much of that personal touch in this automated world that we live in. And they enjoy being able to talk to a live person, you know, ask their questions, concerns. I try to make sure always that customer's happy at the end. I call and check up with them after the job. How did it go? You know, was it great? Is there anything, you know, you can tell me that I would need to know? How were my techs? Were they on time? Did they clean up after the job? You know, I just try to ask those questions. We get a lot of reviews. We have had a couple of negative reviews. That's going to happen. Somebody have a issue on a bad day. And I try to always respond with those very politically correct, very, you know, I'm sorry that you weren't happy, and here's our side of it. You know, customer's always right, but sometimes the customer's not always right. So on a review, you kind of at least have to explain a little more of what happens. Customer's going to talk about the bad things, not necessarily the good things, or give you the proper context. So, and I've actually had new customers come in, they're like, well, I read some of the bad reviews, and they shouldn't have given you a bad review for that. That was kind of ridiculous once they read, you know, my response to it. Sure. So that helps a lot.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, the high touch model that you talk about, I think is so important for reputation. I think customers are just getting really, really sick and tired of dealing with machines. You know, you seem to have a value around the live interaction. Is there something in your background or in your experience that caused you to arrive at that? Because it is very tempting to adopt technology and automate the heck out of a lot of things. Walk me through your philosophy on that.
Well, I did compliance for the last 26 years for a division of the credit bureau. So I had to deal with customers on a regular basis. Phone is kind of my thing. I love being on the phone. I'm actually extremely shy. Yeah. In high school, my mom actually made me go to speech and drama class. So I would have to get up in front of the whole school to try to get me over it. And all it did was make me more shy.
That's funny.
But because I know I'm shy, I think I know that going into it. So I just put a lot more effort into it. You know, try not to, you know, just try to be everybody's. Yeah, I like my goal is to be that customer's new best friend by the time I'm off the phone with them. So who knows what kind of day they're having. And if I just have a pleasantry in my voice and I have, they can tell that I'm smiling, and people can see if you're smiling, even yep. when you're on the phone. And as long as I remember to do that, then people, you know, are happy. Hopefully they're happy when they call me and when they leave, but for sure, definitely when they leave, they're happy. So they may call and be slightly frustrated about something, but by the end, you know, I always try to say something to make them giggle or smile or something, or we talk about this, you know, zombie apocalypse we're going through or something. So, you know, but just something to add a little levity to it. And I'm not a machine. I'm an actual person.
No, that's great. So tell me your story about how you arrived to be a business owner and operator. What was your career path, and how did you make the decision, and how did you get to where you are now?
I was working in compliance, did that for 26 years. I probably would have stayed there the rest of my life. I absolutely loved that job. I love organizing things and coming up with better ways of doing things and researching things. I took legal research in college. I mean, I like that aspect. I probably would have stayed there forever, but this was my husband's dream. And he was a engineer at a Fortune 500 company. And him and another engineer started putting their heads together. And about 2 years before we decided to do it, the other engineer did it. And it actually panned out for him. So, you know, much like I let him talk me into buying him a motorcycle 1 year for his birthday, I let him talk me into, you know, all right, let's just go for it. Let's do it. And the oil and gas industry was starting to have some issues and they were doing some layoffs. And so we just decided for him to go ahead and start, get his feet wet, get all of his certifications and training and get the vehicles and the trailers and the tools. And once all of that got together, then I came on full time to do the back office.
Very cool. And your situation is not uncommon for a lot of our customers at Field Pulse, which is a husband and wife team. So how is that? Because you spent, 26 years not working with your husband and now you are. So how has that been?
Well, and it's actually very different because in the oil and gas industry, he would be gone for months at a time. He'd go to Dubai for a month and then he'd be home for a couple of weeks. He'd go to Dubai for a month. And so we were used to spending our entire marriage, actually, almost long distance. But it really hasn't been bad at all. We get along great. There's always going to be a difference between a technician and an office person. Always. Mechanics and office are completely different. You're going to have those disagreements, but we're really best friends, so we can sit and talk about all that and work it out and come to a solution. It has to be something I'm happy with on the compliance side. And if it's something, he's happy with on, the technician side, then we're good.
It's a very interesting journey. And then as you moved in, you said, you're an operator, you're a control freak, you're an organizer and a planner by nature. What were the first aspects of the business that you dug into to look to improve? What kind of opportunities for improvement did you notice? So where did you direct your efforts once you moved into this full time?
Well, the first thing I wanted to do when I came on board is to get software picked out. I had to get the software picked out. I'm a little old school in some things. I do still like to do on paper. I'll admit that. But, this is the world of software can, save you a lot of time. And I spent countless and countless and countless hours looking at all the different softwares, what I could use to help me schedule the guys in the field, what can help them communicate with me without, we don't have time to do conference calls with whiteboards and this kind of stuff. We need some real-time communication while they're on the job site. Put an invoice in there, it pops up for them, they can collect a payment on it. And we needed something that fit all of our needs. And because of what we do, we don't really fit into a lot of the software systems out there. They're geared for home improvement or HVAC or plumbing we do all that because we fix whatever's wrong on the RV. So I had to find something that would let me have as many fields that I could add and change myself to fit what we need.
How many techs do you have total?
I have three techs.
And I'm trying to learn a little bit more about your operation there, but it sounds like your jobs are not a good portion of them are not scheduled jobs. It sounds like it's a fair number of emergency kind of calls. Is that correct?
No, actually, they are scheduled.
Mostly scheduled, huh?
People will call in, we'll schedule a time, they tell us what's wrong, we'll go out and diagnose. We do get a lot of extra business while we're in the park, though. So we're in the park, we've got our truck and trailer with our nice wrap on it, and all the neighbors are, oh my gosh, while you're here, my thermostat's doing this, or my toilet won't drain. And, so we do get a lot of extra stuff while we're, and that's a little hard for scheduling, because you only schedule so long for a job, and then they've got to leave and go to the next one, but you have people lining up, which is good for business, but you have to try to explain to them you need to call the office and schedule because I don't want to be late for my next appointment, just like I wouldn't want to be late for your appointment.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. How have you found managing paperwork such as your quotes and your invoices and even accepting payments? What are you doing there?
I am getting all of that done through Field Pulse, and I am so happy with that. Wow. In the beginning, it was difficult. There was one process for payments, another process for invoices, and that one didn't allow quotes. So I literally had a spreadsheet that I created that the tech could go in with some signature portion of Adobe and get signatures on it. And it was all very convoluted. And then we'd have to stick that in Drive. And then I'd have to pull that out of Drive to put it with the rest of the paperwork. And it was just very cumbersome, very cumbersome. And now I get all that done through one system.
Excellent. And do you have your techs on it as well?
Yes, absolutely.
Do your techs enjoy using the app?
Yes. Yes, they do.
That's great. That's great. So it sounds like what you've been able to do with your software, kind of being the first focus of coming into the business, is make life a little bit easier, right? Get things organized, documentation, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
What do you see for the future of your business? Do you want to grow? Is the current economic situation one where you're being very cautious? What are your hopes and dreams for this business, ultimately?
Well, we named it North American RV Services because we want to eventually branch out. Now, we are still just in the Houston area, but we've had some struggles with getting the right people, as any company does. It takes a special person to want to do their job and do it well and love their job. And so we're still spending time being very selective on those. We made some mistakes early on. Learned a lot about what type of personality and what type of person it takes to want to do this. You know, some people want to do a desk job, and some people are, you know, love driving around from location to location, and but they have to be, you know, detailed enough to put their notes in Field Pulse and give the back office what we need. And so we're struggling a little with getting some extra techs, but we have found some new avenues for finding techs. So once we build that up, we definitely want to branch out. And we also want to start an online parts store where people can actually buy parts from us, because we do get a lot of phone calls for parts. And I can certainly look that up, order it for them, and send it to them. But with, five or six calls in the last 3 weeks, just people asking for parts, which I imagine is due to our current economic situation. They want to save some money on the labor. They're going to watch a YouTube video and do it themselves, but they don't know where to get the part. So that's what we're looking into now, is how to build an online parts store where we can literally, you know, we want people to be, if you need an RV part, we're the ones that you call, because we have it all.
Excellent. Excellent. So still ambitions of growth in the future, and you're not going to let this stuff get you down. That's great. That's great. In terms of mistakes made or lessons learned, if you were to advise your fellow business owner who's just getting into this game, you know, do these things right, but also, hey, made a couple mistakes here, avoid these things. You already mentioned, you know, finding your talent. Finding your team members, be very careful about that. What else kind of would appear in your list?
Definitely just making sure that you understand your tax laws, your county laws, the other engineer that started his business before we did, he not a very detailed person. Engineers don't like paperwork. They like to think and tinker, but they don't like paperwork. And he didn't do a lot of the tax things and got himself in quite a bit of trouble, wasn't collecting tax the right way and submitting it the right way. So just, you know, making sure it's definitely worth talking to a CPA or most of the tax offices if they're not shut down like they are now, but most of the tax offices have somebody that will just sit and talk to you for as long as you want, and you can ask all the different questions, because that was a big question for us. Since we're mobile, what tax rate do we have to charge, right? I mean, if I go to a customer that's in a completely different zip code, it may only be 20 minutes up the road, but it's in a different zip code. Do I have to charge tax based on their location or my location? Because at least here in Texas, there are different tax rates. So we had to get all that figured out. And you definitely want to figure that stuff out in the beginning and not try to play catch up. That's very terrible to be doing it wrong and then have to go back and try to catch that up. So
I can imagine.
That's the biggest for me.
Yeah. And how has the coronavirus crisis affected business overall? You mentioned maybe people are tightening up the purse a little bit, but I imagine that maybe RVs are a very economical way to live. So maybe there's even more interest in that lifestyle. How are you seeing it?
Well, we are seeing that, you know, our usual customers that just have an RV for vacations, you know, a summer vacation with the kids or, you know, a winter vacation somewhere else, not so much. They're kind of holding down and hunkering down because that's, for them, that's a luxury item. And so they're not spending money on that right now. However, the retirees that live in their RV full time, you know, they still have an issue. If you live in your RV full time and you're plumbing goes south or your air conditioner, especially here in Houston, goes south, you're going to have to get it repaired. So we're seeing still those normal people calling. But we have noticed, we did have about 3 weeks during March where absolutely the phone did not ring. I kept picking it up to even see if there was a dial tone.
Wow.
It just wasn't ringing. And that hurt quite a bit, but you know, we hung in there and didn't throw in the towel. And I know all of a sudden, and I know this is going to sound weird, but right after the stimulus checks started being received by people, the calls started coming in.
Interesting.
So I don't know if they're, okay, our air conditioner's broke. It's starting to get warmer, but we got this stimulus check. Thank goodness we can get our AC fixed. We can get this done. And so that kind of helped us.
Is there anything else you would want to tell your business owners, your business owner peers about being a business owner?
Being a business owner for me is being very hands-on and very involved. And I think that's the best way to run your business. You can hire managers, but, and I'm not saying to micromanage, but you still need to know what's going on. Knowing, being a daily part of it. Employees too, they love that. Employees and customers. Employees are essentially your internal customers, and then you have your external customers. They need to hear from the owner. They need to know what you're thinking, where's your vision, where do you want to go, and they want to be a part of it.
You have a corporate background for many, many years, and it sounds like you bring that approach into your own business management.
Yes.
What are some of the lessons from your corporate career that you think are most relevant to you now as a very hands-on owner-operator?
Just that, being involved, being able to be a part of the decisions. And that's why I try to do that with my techs as well, is make sure, you know, we have meetings at the end of the day. We go over what happened during the day, you know, what could I provide for you that would have made today easier? Do you have all the tools you need? Do you have everything that you need? How's the scheduling going? Am I booking you too many jobs up north and then expecting you to go down south at 4 o'clock? You know, I mean, tell me how this is working for you. And that to me was the biggest thing, because in the corporate world, especially being in the compliance department, you know, we would talk to a lot of the other departments and they would say, you know, I don't feel involved. They don't see the big picture, but if they don't see the big picture, it's the owner's fault because the owner's not showing them the big picture.
Absolutely.
And I think that people work harder when they feel like they're part of something.
Absolutely. And by the way, I'll hold if you need to take a call from customers. That's that's totally the priority.
I just ran in and got that. Sorry.
Yeah, I heard. What's one of the funniest stories that you can recall from your business, stuff out in the field?
Well, to me, it's just, it's so cute. It's funny. But we had this elderly lady and we went out to do some work for her. And then this was before we even had our systems in place where we could take payments and this, that, and the other. And she called me and she said, the technician said that I could just pay you over the computer. And I said, well, yes, ma'am, you can pay me over the phone or you can pay me over the computer. I can, you know, send you an email with a link to pay. And she said, but honey, I cannot figure out where I'm supposed to put this cash. She said, there's a little dish looking thing on my computer. Do I put the cash in there? And I just couldn't, I mean, I tried so hard not to laugh. I was like, oh, sweetie, no, it's okay. You know, so I just told her to mail me a check. But it was just so cute, just the difference in the generation. You know, she actually thought the CD tray was where you put cash in to pay somebody through the computer.
That's pretty funny. That's a good
one.
That
was so adorable.
No, that's awesome. You know, thank you so much for joining us for this. Absolutely. And sharing your stories. Yeah, it's been such a pleasure catching up. Good luck to you, and let us know if there's anything you need from us at Field Pulse, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Don't know about you, but I reckon that was a job well done, mate. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and become an Academy member at fieldpulse.com/academy. This is where you can get all sorts of free tips and tricks to be a better service business operator. Until next time, thanks for listening to The Pulse.